So don't let that bother you. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, if you will. Open your Bible up there to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading down in verse 4 and try to bring you a message that maybe will help you. I hope it will. It's one of those warning ones, all right? It's got that word, beware, all right? Beware. Colossians 2, verse 4, the Bible said, "In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." I'm going to leave off reading there. Once again, our Lord uses the word beware. You said, wasn't the Lord, that's Paul. Well, God told him what to write, all right? The Lord told him what to write. And so we find that word beware. And once again, it's to warn us of a very, I believe, very real threat to your happiness, your well-being as a child of God. It happened 2,000 years ago in the days of the Apostle Paul. And it probably occurred this past weekend somewhere in our land. Somebody was spoiled through philosophy. Why, you say, who? Well, people. People maybe that had been saved, were growing in the Lord, but they were spoiled through philosophy being expounded rather than the Word of God. It's philosophy. Now, that word spoil, okay? I know we look at it normally. We think of the word spoil, and we think, well, that's what happens to food, all right, in your refrigerator. It aggravates me when something I really like, we have leftovers, and somehow or another, I forget it's there, and it gets pushed back in the corner. And then I find it, and I ask my wife, said, "Hey, you think this is eat? You know, okay. No, throw it away." And it just hurts my heart to have to throw away that good food, but probably... If she hadn't said anything, I've always felt like if she didn't say anything, I could eat it and been okay. But once something's been said, it'll kill me, all right? So, man, you know, we worry about it being spoiled food, all right? And the other way, obviously, is we think about a child that's been indulged way too much by his parents, or maybe way too much by the grandparents, or maybe by both of them, all right? And that's obviously not what Paul's talking about here, all right? If you want to understand what that word spoil is, go back with me. Keep your place here, but go back to the Old Testament, to Numbers chapter 31, would you? Numbers chapter 31. I'll give you the Bible meaning. It is a Bible word, so we need to see how it's used in the Word of God, and I think maybe that'll help us, all right? Numbers chapter 31, look, if you will, in verse 7, all right? Verse 7, the Bible here is talking about the Israelites, when it says there, verse 7, "And they warred against the Midianites," that's the Israelites, "warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword." Notice, "And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives and their little ones." But notice, here it is, "and took the spoil of all their cattle and all their flocks and all their goods. And they burned all their cities wherein they dwelt and all their goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of man and of beast." This is what Paul's talking about when he's talking about beware lest anyone spoil you. In days gone by, in ancient history, when armies moved and conquered, One of the things that motivated those men to fight was not the salary they got. But what it was, as they conquered somebody, they could take the spoil of those people. In other words, all their belongings, anything they had, you were defeated, they could take everything you had. You know, really, that word spoil kind of carries with it the sense of plunder or to rob or, you know, to take stuff that's taken in war, all right? That's what he's talking about. And that's what the Bible's saying here to us. Paul's warning against folks that would come along and strip the believer of his faith and his hope, just like an invading army would rob a country of all that's valuable. And so I want to look at it, all right? Just 2 points in the sermon tonight, all right? I want you to see, first of all, the word desire. Think of it, that word desire. It's what the devil wants. It's what the world wants to do. To be honest with you, what they want to do is to plunder you, to rob you, and to take from you what you have in Christ. In Christ. And they would like to take that away from you. There's any way they could do it, they want to do that. And that Paul's warning against that. He said, you beware lest any man spoil you, all right? You said, well, what? Notice what he says up there in verse 5. Verse 5, he said, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Just those great things that come from being a child of God. Your confidence. Your confidence because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. Hey, they'd like to take that away from you. Get that confidence away from you. They would like to take away the joy that you have in serving the Lord. Hey, man, we come. I don't know how you do it. I come to church. I didn't come to church tonight going, oh, bless God, it's Wednesday. And I have to go to church. Man, I look at it as a situation. Man, we get to go to church, and here we are. We get to hear Ms. Noble play the piano and hear the great songs and get to sing those songs. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not. Who cares, you know? Just why? Because here I am. I have that joy of the Lord that's inside me because I'm saved, and it's a blessing to get together with other believers, all right? Brother Oftedal came in tonight. He hadn't been here in a week or so, and he said, man, I didn't miss any of the services. I watched them, but he said, boy, it's not like being here. And there is, to me, I've watched them on TV. It's not like being here, okay? It's just better to be here, all right? Man, when you're at home on the couch, or I've been in a motel room watching the service before, and it's just not the same to sit there and go, amen. It's just not the same. It's good to be here. All right, well, the world would like to take that joy away from you, all right? They would like to take the contentment that comes from you knowing you're saved. And if you let me put it this way, living under the shadow of the Almighty. The world would like to take that contentment away from you. We're at the time of year where all the advertising is set to make you discontented. Man, I need that. I need one of those. Or to have some of that. I love the commercials. I don't know what your financial situation is, but I love that commercial that used to be on maybe a couple years ago of these two trucks. And this husband and wife got new trucks for Christmas. Man, y'all are living a little above my means, you know, all right? And I'm thinking of that. It makes, you know, we all of it make you want something. And boy, it's good to have contentment as a child of God. Just content knowing, hey, I'm saved. And I can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a good place to be, all right? They'd like to take that away from you. The security that comes from a close relationship with the Lord. Hey, those things right there, those are just a few of the things that can be taken from you. if you let it happen. They can be taken from you. And then I think, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, we're to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Boy, I look at this and I think about the stability that's in the Christian life. Rooted, all right? Built up in him. Those things, they bring stability. They bring stability. I'm not surprised the devil wants to take that away from you. The devil would like to take that away from you. But it is somewhat amazing to me that there are men that would resent you having such stability. Yet there are. There are people out there. They would resent it. If you let me put it this way, they seek to knock out your foundation, pull you away from that solid rock you've been placed on, get you off of that, get you out there where they are in that sinking sand, all right? And I'd like you to be there. You know, it just seems like there's that jealousy. You've got something I don't have, so I want to not see what you got, but I want to take it away from you. I don't want you to have it. Bible says, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now notice the devices. How's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? Look at verse 4. It starts, the Bible said that lest any man should, notice, beguile you with enticing words. Just to be fooled. Just to be confused, all right? With words. That's philosophy, through philosophy. Now, I don't know where I first heard it, but it's been said that a philosopher studies more and more about less and less until he knows everything about nothing. And I think that's true. Now, I don't know how much philosophy you've ever studied. All right? I don't really know why you would want to waste your time doing it. But there is a whole, schedule on philosophy. You can get a degree in philosophy. The bad thing about it, philosophy really means a lover of wisdom, all right? But in our day, and really over the centuries, not just in our day, it's come to really lead up to a system of knowledge and a way of looking at and understanding life. When people talk about philosophy, that's what they're talking about. Now, if you go back and read philosophers, once again, I don't know why you would want to do that, but there's never been a philosopher who knew how to get to heaven. Never been a philosopher who knew how to get to heaven or had the assurance that he was going. Never. Why would people want to get hooked up with that kind of thing? But it's amazing how much is done now in philosophy. Truthfully, I think of Joel Osteen in Houston. Now, if he's your favorite person, I'm sorry, okay? But what you hear from him is not preaching of the Word of God. You hear his philosophy on life. Philosophy, all right? What happens? Well, people get some ideas that they like, and they build a belief system based on those ideas, all right? Now, sometimes it may include biblical-type ideas, but it always leans real heavy on the arm of the flesh. It always leans real heavy there, all right? But it's just if nothing else, to make you think good thoughts, to make you give you a positive attitude. The guy that was Norman Vincent Peale, he's one that started that. It was philosophy that he would give at that church, and I use the word loosely, that he was at, all right? Same way with the guy that was at the Crystal Cathedral in California for years. You listen to him, his favorite slogan was possibility thinking. It's philosophy. It's a philosophy. And get you hooked on that kind of thing. What happens? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And the whole deal that gets going when you get on philosophy is to pull you away from what's really important, what's real. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted," notice, "from the simplicity that is in Christ." The simplicity that is in Christ. The whole idea of pushing that philosophy, pull you away from the Lord. Pull you away from Him. Some people, I think it's easier for them because they just can't believe the simplicity that is in Christ. It's not a hard thing. The hard thing is understanding how simple it is, all right? Let's face it, getting born again. Hard thing is understanding how simple it is. You mean that's all I need to do? That's all? That is it. How about my works? We don't need any of them. They won't help. The simplicity that's there, what is it? Just believe. Trust Him. Put your faith. Call upon Him. Ask Him to forgive you and to save your soul. It's that easy. It's just that easy. Just that easy. But boy, that's simple. That's simple. Well, how do I live a good Christian life? Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. That's it. That's it. Oh, preacher, those things are hard. But they're simple. But the hardness is in because they are so simple. But there's philosophy. Philosophy comes along and builds this whole system of beliefs and everything to deal with life and tries to suck you in, go that direction. Bible said, hey, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. But then it says, and vain deceit. Vain deceit. Vain is empty. Empty. That, and it deceives folks about what? About the truth. About the truth. Philosophy especially would tell you there is no absolute truth. That is a bald-faced lie. There is some absolute truth. And it's right here. It's right here. But the reason we get sucked into that philosophy is because we like the idea that there's no absolute truth. If there's no absolute truth, then hey, I can kind of work things my way. Hey, the whole deal, deception is the goal, just to get out, just to deceive people. To deceive people. Look, I'll be honest with you, folks. If you don't see the world pushing their agenda and the unsaved, the lost, the ungodly pushing their agenda, then, man, you've got your eyes closed. You can't watch television hardly. Anything from today's time has got a twist to it. Got a twist to it. I mean, they've twisted something somewhere, somehow. And you get sucked in on a program, and then about halfway through, you find that one character that you have got sympathized with, and you begin to like them. And then you find out they're perverted. Why? They're running their agenda. They're pushing their philosophy. Pushing their philosophy. You say, well, preacher, thank the Lord, it'll never happen in Christianity. It is happening in Christianity. It is happening. I mean, just beyond belief, all right? It's vain deceit, though. They're deceiving people. For what? That which is totally empty, unfulfilling. That's why so many of that crowd needs a counselor. They have to go see their, the word just deserted me, I can't think of it now, but their therapist, yeah. They have to go see their therapist. The only therapist I've ever seen is physical. I went to a physical therapist when I had shoulder surgery, you know, and they got me where I could raise my arm again, all right? And because when I first went to them, they say, raise your arm. I am. Do you see it moving? All right, and I couldn't raise it at all right? And so they said, raise your arm. I go, and that was it. I couldn't raise it. So I went to that therapist. But they don't go for that reason. They go so they can get adjusted and be able to handle their own life. Why? They've been spoiled through philosophy, through vain deceit. And notice the Bible says, after the tradition of men. It's always staggered me how men like tradition more than they do the truth. I will stick with my tradition over the truth. You say, why would people do that? Well, traditions can be bent. Traditions can be molded. They can even be melted down and recast through time and change in culture. We'll just remold it. But I'll tell you, what is true will always be true. And you can't change it. You can't change it. The way you change it, the only way you can attempt to change it is by lying. Remember what it said about deceit and enticing words? Lying. That's why we see in our day they talk about the scriptures. And they talk about how some of the, well, we've just been interpreting it all wrong. No, we just believed what it said. And that's why you be careful about folks that say, well, you can interpret it. Yeah, you could. But we don't interpret it. We believe it. We believe it. There's a big difference between interpreting. Well, what did he mean when he said that? Well, why can't we believe he meant what he said? You know, when I was a kid growing up at home, if mom said, hey, supper's ready, I didn't look at my brother and say, well, reckon what that means. I never did that. If dad said, son, if you do that, I'm going to whip you. My brother never looked at me and said, what do you reckon that means? We knew what it meant. Dad meant what he said. And why we can't just take the Bible that way? Well, the reason we don't want to do it, folks don't want to do it, is because it gets to their sin. Hey, can I be honest with you? There's some things in the Bible I wish wasn't there. Because it deals with my sin, all right? Brother Noble made this Bible for me. I called him up. I said, man, I need one that's got a little bit bigger print. And I explained to you all the lighting is up here is not good. That's not the reason I need bigger print, though. So I told him, I said, man, do they make a Scoville Bible a little bigger print? He said, yeah, they do. So he sent me the, I don't know, there. I'm sure there's a technical term, but I call it the innards, all right? That's everything that was in that Bible. And so I looked at it, and I said, that'll work. I said, but I need you to take out some of the Bible. And when I said that, it got a little quiet on the end. Brother Noble said, what, you want to get rid of the Ten Commandments? I said, no, not that, all right. But I said, there's some at the end, you know, some index stuff. I don't want it, not interested in it. I just take that out. And there's a presentation page in the front and the genealogy page. I don't keep my genealogy in my Bible, all right? I said, if you can take all that out, so we did, all right? But there's a lot of people today, they'd say to you, could we take some of that out? Some of that Matthew, some of that Genesis, some of that here. They'd like to get rid of it, all right? Why? Because we like tradition more than we like truth. Because you can take it, you can bend it, you can mold it. But truth, man, you can't change it without lying and or using some kind of fancy reasoning or some real tricky semantics. Man, people can make words do all kinds of things. But wait a minute. You don't change the real truth. You don't do it. Don't let yourself be spoiled after the tradition of men. And notice it also says the rudiments of the world. The rudiments of the world. There is a huge desire, I think, in our day to make the Christian match up real well with the world. And there is a desire and a goal to make Christianity appealing to the world. Make our church service appealing so that people will be attracted and come, all right? But that's not what we're to do, all right? That they want to let the Christian be at home in the world and let him be at home in the things and with the things of the world. Be happy there. Take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. When I was thinking about this afternoon as I was finishing up my notes for the message tonight, this verse popped into my mind in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I remind you, Hebrews chapter 11 is just details numerous individuals in the Bible, and it says, by faith. By faith, they did this. By faith, Moses, all right, forsook the house of Eve, all right? And we go on, you know, he chose to suffer affliction with the house of God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. And then it goes on beginning in verse 32, and it doesn't so much, after it get past verse 32, it doesn't name individuals, but look what it says about them. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, because they wanted to fit in with the world. No, do you see that first phrase there in parentheses in verse 38? Of whom the world was not worthy. Hey, boy, could I say that? That ought to be the challenge to us. That ought to be the challenge to us. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Why? Because there's anything we might so live that the world was not worthy for us to live here. What a picture, what a challenge to us, all right? But it all boils down to this, that last phrase of verse 8, and not after Christ. Anything but him. Anything. But wait a minute. Isn't it in him? Look there in verse 9. It's in him dwelleth all the fullness. The Godhead bodily, in him. Not only that, notice what verse 10 says. We're complete in him. In him. And I might add this, in him alone. Not in anyone else or anything else. We're complete in him. In him there's complete salvation. Complete salvation. In spite of what some teach that his atoning death was not enough, and after death you're going to have to suffer a little bit to make up the difference. What a lie. What heresy. No, our salvation's complete in him. Complete salvation. Complete security. Complete security. Oh, we used to sing at Silver State Youth Camp. Brother Dan Allen would lead us in singing, under the blood of Jesus, save the shepherd's fold. And under the blood of Jesus, save while the ages roll. Safe though the worlds may crumble, safe though the stars grow dim, under the blood of Jesus, I'm secure in him. In him. That's where security comes from. We believe in eternal security. Why? Because when you get saved, you get in him. Not because of us. When you get saved, you're in him. In him is complete salvation, complete security. Now, I'll just say this. I believe in him is complete satisfaction. We get dissatisfied when we're trying to get out away from him. But real satisfaction's in him. In him. In his word. There's all wisdom. There's all understanding. It's in him. In his book. We're in Colossians. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read just a few verses beginning in verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth the word of life. It's that book that's got, there's all wisdom and all understanding. Folks, it's the truth. Don't let the world or anybody else, anybody in it, spoil you and get you sucked aside because of their wonderful, beguiling words and vain deceit. Beware, beware that you do not get spoiled. Beware of that. It only happens if you let it. Only happens if you let it. If food gets spoiled in the refrigerator or on the counter, wherever, it's because we let it happen. We let it happen. If a child gets spoiled, we let it happen. We let it happen. Listen, if you get spoiled and sucked away from the truth and the great things of God, and you let yourself get robbed of your faith, don't point the finger at somebody else. Just don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. You stick with the book. Stick with the truth. And if anything sounds fishy, get away from it. If you get in a situation where they start out with the Bible and then begin to add something, get away from it. If you get in the Bible and they start to question the Bible, get away from it. They're just seeking to spoil you. Don't let it happen. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, you've warned us. You've told us to beware.